A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, hi, hello. It's yogurt.
I thought it was the rose, the vibrator rose.
Hey, dual meaning.
Because it is, because it's a rose, like a flower. Yeah. It's like Earth Day.
Every day is Earth Day.
You should flash it to the camera so only the Patreon people can see what's going on. Get
it's
that
just
pause,
a temporary idea.
Get that pause finger ready.
They're going to be like, bitch, your brightness is too high. We'll see.
Do it one more time.
Okay.
And then I can tell you because I wasn't looking at my screen.
I'll turn my brightness down because I think it is too bright.
Ooh. It's enough to get the feeling of what's happening. If you're on Patreon, you can see things are happening.
And I'm not wearing a bra, so you might be seeing some
neither,
more.
Neither am I. But
is that the Abercrombie one?
The shirt or the pants? Shirt. The shirt is not. The shirt is Oak and Fort, and the pants are Abercrombie.
Oak and Foot.
Oak and Fort and Abercrombie.
And blue. Oh. There's a beige. I really hate an off-white color descriptors when they go tan, nude, beige. And I go, undertones. What the fuck did...
Those are all different colors to me, and they look distinct in my head.
Completely different, but they will use them interchangeably. And Abercrombie has this one shirt and they don't have it modeled on a model, so I don't know what the fuck color it is. And I go, this could either look adorable on me or sickly or nude with a boxy
nude. But nude's different.
No, me. I am nude.
I know, but I'm saying.
Exactly. When they're like, it's in a nude shade. I go, what shade?
What shade of nude?
What shade of nude? Hi. Hello. Welcome to another episode. Sorry. I thought you literally were just like jacking off at my face. Also, that's why I got choked up.
That's why your knees are bruised.
Here I was thinking I was delivering the funniest bit. That's why I choked up. You go, ah, damn it. You're really one off of me today with these.
Here I am. But my wrist hurts.
Long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to another episode of But Am I Wrong? Where we, two people who have never, ever, ever been wrong, tell you and the masses, all the people, when you're wrong, when you have been wrong. And soon maybe we'll be able to tell you when you will be wrong. In hypotheticals.
Raven, the actress, as opposed to Raven the character, said that she can see the future too.
We are so in sync today. It's actually fucking insane because I was literally had just read that this morning.
Did you?
You should also know that if you are caught up and you listen to Monday's episode of Don't Blame Me, and we told you to head over to the Patreon to see that Melissa and I were matching, know that that's the first episode that filmed that we do. We record in order of when it goes up. And so that's the outfit I arrived in. Mm-hmm. She opens her front door. We're wearing the same outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Hee hee ha ha. And that was my driving outfit. I had a second outfit to wear for the episode, which is the one I'm currently wearing. But I was like, you're in this. I don't want to change. This
I said, you got to be twinsies.
We stayed being twinsies. Then I was picking out of the two outfits I had left. I grabbed the other one because I was like, I'm not going to put. I see Melissa walk in after our lunch break.
Mm-hmm. I went changed in my bedroom. I retired to the bedroom and boudoir. And changed. And then I walk in and Megan goes,
you're fucking kidding me. Yeah, bitch, you're fucking kidding me. And you're like, what? I was like, let me show you what I was about to put into. And by the way, I had not changed yet. Mm-hmm. And I hold up a white t-shirt and green cargo pants.
Yep.
And so this is what I ended up wearing so we can match twice in a row. We're like,
We should have took a picture before and then we have to take a picture after.
Well, we own these. I don't know if we should take a picture because I did my makeup in maybe 90 seconds at 6 a.m. With three products and I didn't dampen my beauty blender. That's why this isn't blended.
Okay. It looks fine.
Thanks.
No, it really does.
Thank you.
Your glasses look a little foggy, though.
They are. I kept trying to clean them, and then I realized that the shirt I was cleaning them with, I put sunscreen on, like spray sunscreen, and so I've just been coating them in sunscreen.
Got it. I have a lens cleaner.
Oh.
In that pile of things.
I'm not going to touch that tower, I'm fine. I usually will just use Windex if I have to.
But I actually have lens cleaner.
It's the same
there.
Thing.
I know, but like one smells less chemically.
Oh, I love the smell of Windex.
Right on your nose?
No, I like walk around. I air it out a little bit.
Okay.
Hello, Christ.
Oh, that screen cleaner there. It doesn't smell like anything.
That's dangerous. I'm pretty sure those are like the actual those are most the chemicals that are the ones you huff.
Yep. Those are the huffing ones.
And they don't smell like anything? That's bad. Hello, Christ.
This is the most Megan has prayed so many times and called upon the Lord about 20 times a day.
I haven't prayed because I just keep saying hello, Christ. And he goes, hello, Megan, I'm here. Like, I'm just.
Yeah, but you've a couple times you've said.
I'm about to sit again.
Right. So Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want.
I'll roll his calls. Put him on hold. Screening the calls.
You're the one calling him.
That's true.
Speaking of Mormon.
I love this segue.
When we were doing See You Next Tuesday the previous week, we were talking about the Huff twins, but they're not twins. Julianne and Derek. They are from Utah. And things made a lot more sense when I saw that.
I don't know how I didn't automatically assume because everyone from Dancing with the Stars, They have a Utah to Dancing with the Stars pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's a slide.
His grandparents were dancers too.
In Utah? And yeah. Cousins, probably.
Probably. And then they went to go live with Mark Ballas, the dancer that's on Dancing with the Stars, in Europe somewhere. And they were only supposed to stay 3 months, and Derek ended up staying like 10 years, and Julianne stayed 5 years. And that's why she was back here earlier to get on Dancing with the Stars. And I thought she was older, and she's actually younger. He gives little brother energy, but she's younger.
He does give little brother energy.
Yesterday when I was editing See You Next Tuesday, I was like, let me look into these people. And
you're brave.
And yeah, that's the information that I found.
Wow. This crumble cookies also comes out of Utah.
I've never had one of the cookies. They just look big and dry to me.
And it comes out of Utah. And you know what I say about Utah? Big and dry. Have you driven through Utah?
It's crunchy.
It is. And it looks like a big crumble cookie. It is. There are cracks. It is dry. And you just go, I need something. I need something to wash this down. And then they go, but make sure you get there before 6 p.m. because we close everything down. They close.
One of my good friends lives there, Michelle. She listens to this a lot. So she might be listening now. She's always like, come visit. But she also travels a lot. So there's that. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I've always wanted to do this as a hot take, and I won't because I don't think it's a hot take at all. But I think there are certain states that I think we are on stolen land everywhere, all of the United States. Places like Utah, which are so stunning, so absolutely gorgeous, and have adopted a specific, like, we have a border of being, don't look at my self tan. Why would you? Unless I have my glasses on, that means I can pick up on.
First, I was trying to figure out if it was just discoloring.
By the way, Moss looked at it one time because we keep getting this ad for vitiligo. And he goes, babe. And I go, it's not vitiligo. It's my self tan. And he goes, okay. And I was like, you don't need, I'm going to show you. You don't know enough about this. But he keeps, anytime he sees something on me, he asks if it's vitiligo or psoriasis because we keep getting the ads for both of those things. And I'm like,
do you
not
scrub
that targeted
before you self tan?
So I do, but I put spray sunscreen on, which was oil based. And I forgot that I had moisture because it soaked right in,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't leave a smell. And I forgot I had added, because I had self tan drops to my moisturizer. Mm-hmm. I don't do self tan. And then I put sunscreen on.
You know how you want me, you want to do my makeup?
You want to do my self tan?
You should let me do your tan. Because remember, no, I used to be a professional.
I that's why I was like, you want to do my, okay. You know what I was thinking? You know, people started buying like those, doing it at home and doing the whole thing.
That's what I had.
Now I know I could get it come over here.
But the thing is, they get in your nose a lot.
No,
you're
going to
have to wear, and the mask.
Get a HEPA, I mean the.
Yeah, but I'd still, even because of how much I did, I'd still be blowing out.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
I'm also not shy of being nude. We can do the tent outside.
I'm not shy about being nude either.
I know.
I've seen a lot of nude bodies in my day with the spray tanning.
So on this podcast, we have 3 segments. We will explain each of them before we get into them. But one of my personal favorite parts, if I can make it through without yawning, because Melissa's yawning, it will be so impressive.
That was one that really hit me in the back of the neck.
That's what they all say.
You're so gross.
No, yours just have been better. That's all it has been. We've been making the same level of nasty jokes. Yours have been way smoother and better.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't. You can't. We have you all vote in who you think was wrong in each situation and segment of the show. That is over on our Instagram stories. We upload those usually. I'm going to say me. I don't want to rope you into my tardiness and delay there.
I've been better.
Between Friday to Sunday, sometimes Monday. But hey, everyone, by the time that I think you're listening to this, I will literally have AC. And not to put a lot of pressure on myself, but I'm a lost riding on this. I'm convinced that this is going to change a lot for me. And I told Melissa this yesterday and you were like, you know what? I do think so. And I loved that. I loved that as a...
I believe in you.
Well, it's a big ADHD thing to like set these like benchmarks of like, I can't do this until I have this, or like, well, once I have this, like then this will do that. And it's not like a moving the goalposts. It's like literally completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. Like if I have stuff to do, I like can't shower. I'm like, no. It's like, no, Megan, you could. No. I have to do this thing, so I can't do it. But am I going to do the other thing? No. But then I can't do anything else. But I think with AC, I think it's going to just make my mood a lot better.
I've learned that if I don't get up immediately and adjust the temperature and then eat, then I can't think. And I've gone hours without just like sitting in bed trying to work and just doing the same thing over and over again. And it's because I'm not concentrating, because my body is concentrating on being hungry mm-hmm. and cold.
Yeah, that's smart.
So if you're at everything is taken care of and at base level, then you can think about other things. And I think that's just where your body has to get back to your base level and not
that's really
from one
point.
Extreme to the other.
Well, because I felt a lot better in the winter. And you even noticed that, too. Mm-hmm. You were like, your light is coming back. I can see it in your eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's more
But you have
there.
Just gradually gotten better, too.
100%. But
even now, you look better than you did then.
Totally. But the day-to-day of, like, I can feel the difference in the weather-based things. But very excited. So, yeah, you can vote on those when we post those, and check out the highlights. There's only 24 hours that they will be up, but I upload them to the highlights. So if you miss one, those will be there. And we also encourage and love when people reply in to those stories with why they voted the way they did, if they agreed with what we said, or they have just like any of their own additional thoughts. And we read those and the results on our Friday episode, which is called Fisting Friday. Should I leave you alone?
No, fisting is a two-person job. I don't know what you're talking about. You're always here.
Oh God.
To help me fist.
No. Well, my hands are so much bigger than yours. Like, in the practical sense. Like, I have large hands.
You do.
I've been told they're basketball hands.
I don't think they're
piano
that big.
Hands.
I think piano.
Well, when I was told they're basketball hands, I'm not talking WNBA. I'm talking... I was in middle school and high school. This looks like a middle schooler who could play basketball. Not professionally.
Gotcha. But yeah, definitely piano.
Shall we get into our first segment?
Yes, we shall. It's called But Am I Wrong? And that's when we pick something from our own lives and share if we think, you know, am I wrong for this? Who knows? I'm a little teapot. Keep going. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle. Here is my spout. You're up first.
I will also add the additional. We don't just do our own personal live things. We can also do rants or hot takes. And my rant, and it's not a hot take, is... stop touching people. We live in a society, and in this society, I think we need to touch less.
Non-consensually.
Yes, but I think like we need to. I'm not a touchy person, so I'm going to come from that side of it. The only person I am touchy with is Mots. Like that's it. Like I am not. I will be, and if anyone's like ever met me, they'll be like, what? You like gave me, like, I will, if I meet like someone, especially someone who like has followed me for a while, like I don't want to say that I do it because like I'm awkward or uncomfortable, but like that's like one of those things that it's, I feel like that's a little bit more personal. Now, currently, if I ran into anyone who was like, hey, I listen to podcasts, like, and they asked for a hug, I would like very politely decline because a pandemic. But prior to that, like, that is something, but it's people I'm just meeting for the first time, like work people, like friends. Like it's just, I'm not.
Yeah, we rarely hug.
No. I'm like a hug someone for the first time, like first or second time that I meet them. And then I'm like, okay, cool. So are we cool? Like we don't have to keep doing this.
Hugging isn't my favorite. It never has been my whole life. But I've kind of forced myself because of this industry.
Yeah.
And there's, but there, but now there's just like certain people.
Yeah. I like, this sounds bad. Hugging buys me time sometimes when you're like trying to be like, how do I know this person? Or mm-hmm. like trying to like kind of regain mm-hmm. something there. And I also play a lot of an audition for a lot of like bitches and assholes. So like there's this thing ingrained that it's like, I have to be
the opposite.
Yeah. I have to be incredibly overly warm. And that's not necessarily it. And then I have some friends who are very big huggers, which that doesn't make me uncomfortable because they're not like, yes. Leo is a hugger.
He's a good hugger too.
That's literally what I was about to say. I was like, he's a great hugger, and there's like a level of like, he hugs people that he, because he cares and he like loves people, like that comes from a place that I don't feel like uncomfortable with. But I think as a whole, us operating under, and I've been said this before, it's like, you know, we have to make sure that consensual hugging and like consensual touching and all of that. But I think like baseline, we should just assume no, because having to ask if it's okay, or we're having this overwhelming pressure that it's, you have to essentially opt out of it, where it's like, why are we assuming we have consent to touch other people? But we're putting people, like the onus and the responsibility on the person who like does not want to have like a physical interaction to then say that. And I think like also in certain circumstances, because we're operating with the default being like touching, it should be okay. So let me just clarify and double check and ask that it is. We're assuming, and then we're putting that person in a shitty position if they don't feel like they can say no. Like, that's my thing with consent. Very big fan of consent, but I don't think there's some things that are inappropriate to ask. So like, oh, you should get the person's consent first. And goes, well, is it appropriate? Are they in a spot where they could feel like they could say no? Like, whatever. All of this came to be because I don't know if other people saw, Melissa had said that she had not, but Andrew Garfield was getting discussed. I saw this on Reddit, but it was on Twitter too, for doing conventions. And during the, like, not for doing conventions, but the photos came out as they do, and he's, you know, standing next to people, not touching, smiling, like leaning, like doing like the pose things that people want to do. But specifically his team or whoever was running his meet and greet was like, no, we're not doing any touching or hugging. And people were so mad.
Some what?
People were like, well, don't even go to the convention if you're not going to do this. And I'm like,
but
huh?
But do people not remember just a couple years ago when Me Too happened and everybody was like, don't touch anybody? Like, well, especially celebrities when they're in pictures, they're like, we want to have hands. They were specifically talking about men have hands like in front. Don't touch anybody. Like, that was a huge thing. But you should never, never just assume that you should touch somebody. It's a meet and greet. It's not a cuddle and hug.
Well, the part that makes it really like even more grotesque to me is that the difference for them, and they're all like, you know, people like, I'm all for consent, but it's like, but I paid. And I go, you think mm-mm. you paid for access to him in any capacity? Like, no, like your dollar does not hold more weight than his comfortability. And so even if you didn't want to touch him, but you were saying something inappropriate, they're going to kick you out. And that's like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's all of these things that you can do that, like, just because you paid money to be there does not mean that you can do whatever the fuck you want. Yep. Like, your dollar is not worth that much. So this person had tweeted saying, some celebrities really think they're gods or some shit, making fans pay hundreds of dollars to get to meet them and then won't even let them touch them. Like, don't do conventions if you don't want to meet your fans then. And then, yes, this is about Andrew Garfield. It's just mind-blowing to me because A, you're not making your fans do anything. Fans are asking to do this. Meeting someone is not a liken to touching them. Like, those things are not this. You can meet someone without having to touch them. But if your idea of consent is thrown out the window as soon as you've paid for something, I do not think that you should be paying for an exchange of goods and services that involve other people because this feels like you're entitled to their bodies, which is just so fucking weird. And I think like this obsession that the internet has with certain male celebrities, I look at that and like I'm never one to be like, well, like, let's think about it in the reverse, because like, you know, if this was a woman, all of this, like the comments that she'd be getting would be, men have a far easier time on social media being treated by women than other women do having treated by women. But like this as a whole, like you can still sexually harass a man, like you can still do all of these things. And the same way that, like you said, like men, it was like, don't touch fans in these photos. Mm-hmm. I also always think back to Taylor Swift did a, like she did a radio show and this was like her big court case, and the radio DJ like grabbed her ass under her skirt and it's like in the photo op, and she sued him for $1.01. And he countersued her. But like, it was in the sense that like, he was in the level of position of power there. It's his radio show. But in terms of like who has more professional power, it's Taylor Swift. This idea that like celebrities need to act a certain way, as they should in front of the cameras with their fans, that needs to extend to the fans as well. Even if you see yourself as like, oh, I'm just a little girl with a little crush on a boy. It's not that. Like, it does not matter your age, your gender, your size, like any of that. None of that matters. The relationship between, I mean, anyone, but in this case, celebrity and fan, that needs to be a mutual level of respect. Because I also think in comparison to like Colleen Ballinger, the reason why she would bring like very little young boys up on stage, she would not feel comfortable doing that with older men because she would feel fear for her safety. But that is not, it is all equal fucking, like it's all the same playing field. It's if you are concerned about your safety, that cannot be, you cannot then sacrifice someone else's safety for that. You can do both. Both people can be safe here. And the photos that he, like how people, like they were so pleasant and fine and nice, but the touching thing is just, makes me so uncomfortable. So hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. And I would say normalize waiting for someone else. Like if you're meeting someone who you don't know, if someone else is like, oh, no, if you want to hug someone, I would talk, you know, and then make it. But an introduction hug to me is like a.
Allison always asks.
When I remember the first time, I think it was like the first time I ever met Allison or the second time I ever met Allison that I like. And I remember there are certain things I've had when people ask me if I before, I, like when they're getting to know me, like on the first or second time we hang out and they're making plans and they go, oh, do you drink? And then when that's happened with other people, but Allison specifically asking that, it was like someone, and there was an angel that shined down light on me. And I was like,
God. Yeah, it's hard for me to control how I say things, but she says it in a way that feels welcoming. Uh-huh. Like
it's like pediatrician.
Yeah, like if you don't want to, cool. Mm-hmm. But she said, can I hug? That's what she says.
No.
And I'm like,
and it's
so great.
Yeah.
I respect her for that.
No, and I really love that. And the way that she also says it, maybe we need to ask her to make a tutorial video so we can guide people to that. Because the way that she says it, would never feel weird saying no. And it also does not come with like an expectation from her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this PSA to Allison. I mean, we do know her, so we can ask her to make a tutorial.
I kind of know her.
I think I've met her once or twice. I know a thing or two about her.
All right, my turn. You ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
We need to stop visiting Florida. Not us, because the last time I went to Florida.
How can we stop something we haven't done?
Right. When was the last time I went to Florida?
By choice.
probably some, even not by choice.
That's what I'm saying. I've never been to Florida on purpose.
I think the last time I went had to be for like an AKA convention years ago.
Well, that's not by choice either.
But that's when it was okay. Barack Obama was president.
Times were different.
Times were different. It was a different time. Even though Florida's always been bad. I always think about that Bugs Bunny clip where he's sawing off Florida. Classic from years ago. And Bugs Bunny knew then.
I think of it as E-Bomb's World. The like, mm-hmm. I think that's where they got it, right?
But like, it's an actual Bugs Bunny
thing. No, I know. I'm thinking, I think that they cut off Florida in reference to the Bugs Bunny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Clip.
Yeah.
Charity will save you.
That's the thing. It's like, by choice, nobody should be going unless like you already live there. You have family there. Or for some reason there's like a specialized doctor that you have to go see there.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Need base.
Yeah, a need base. Need or circumstance base.
Yeah. We don't need a vacation.
No. So a lot of civil rights groups have said stop going, including Equality Florida, an LGBTQ advocacy group. That's literally in Florida.
Uh-huh. They're like, we've been here. We're here. Don't come.
Don't come. They warned Florida may not be a safe place to move or visit. And this is over the state's anti-LGBTQ laws, restrictions on access to reproductive health, and its repeal of gun safety laws. Also, the Florida Immigrant Coalition released an advisory that said, reconsider travel to Florida due to unconstitutional laws which abuse civil liberties. And the NAACP chapter that's in Florida also voted unanimously in favor of issuing similar travel advisories. In case you don't know, all the terrible things that Florida has done, DeSantis, the governor, signed a bill banning abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, but it won't take effect unless the state's current 15-week ban is upheld in an ongoing legal challenge that is before the state Supreme Court, which is controlled by conservatives. So,
yeah. And also, any of the stuff that people keep being like, well, this one's like, doctors aren't risking. And like, even if it's like technically legal at that current point, they're not risking it.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got the Don't Say Gay bill, which covers all grades in school, banning classroom instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in schools, which is dumb. Pronouns. DeSantis signed a bill that prevents school staffers or students from being required to refer to people by pronouns that don't correspond to the person's sex.
English class, it's gonna be hard,
right?
Like
English, Spanish, like any language, I mean, just class,
casual conversation. Yeah. Like you're holding people back from communicating, regardless if you want to talk about like in a progressive or quote like woke ideals. Mm-hmm. Like you're legitimately hindering their education and knowledge on like reading.
Yeah. The death penalty. DeSantis has signed two major death penalty bills this year. The first ends as a unanimous jury requirement in death penalty sentencing, allowing capital punishment with jury recommendations of at least 8-4 in favor of execution.
What a freak.
Yeah. And then the second is allows the death penalty in child rape convictions, despite the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that banned capital punishment in such cases. The law is intended to get the conservative-controlled U.S. Supreme Court to reconsider a 2008 ruling that found it unconstitutional to use capital punishment in child sexual battery cases.
Oh, we're pretending. It's Republicans again pretending they care about sexual abuse of children.
Yep. Guns. Floridians will be able to carry concealed guns without a permit under a bill that DeSantis signed. The new law will allow anyone who can legally own a gun in Florida to carry one without a permit. It means training and background checks will not be required to carry concealed guns in public. It actually already took place. It started on July 1st. And then diversity, new laws banned colleges from using state or federal funding for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, a consistent target of DeSantis. They've also have been needlessly institutionalizing disabled children. And that is a list of things that have been happening in Florida. This all started because I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine who posted an article about the kids being put in institutions and was talking like, this is so wrong, blah, blah, blah. And then I responded, fuck Florida. And she's like, I hate that I love their beaches so much and it's so cheap to fly. First of all, come to California. You have a free place to stay. Like,
that's cheaper.
Yeah, it's cheaper. The flight is not more than $370. Mm-mm. Like, that's not bad. But also, you don't have to stay in a hotel.
And there's no gators.
There's no gators. It's not humid. Mm-hmm. It's just a dry heat. We've got, like, so many different kind of beaches. It's very cool. And then, this has nothing to do with her, but also, like, theme parks. People are like, well, I like going to the certain theme park. I, too, prefer that theme park.
I was gonna
say. There's something very similar right here in California.
Dare I say, not even cousins, close sisters.
Yeah.
Some might even call them twins.
And even not that specific one, the other ones that are there are also here.
Uh-huh. And it's still not humid.
Yep.
Here. And there are still no gators.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to see them in an enclosed space.
You can go visit them.
Yeah, there's an albino alligator at my prom.
Why?
We had a science museum.
At school? Oh, no, you had the prom at the science museum.
Yeah, the science museum with the albino alligator.
Gotcha.
They put away most of the stuff, but they kept it. And I was like, did they want to come?
All right, time for a break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books, so we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like, you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. which that sounds so intriguing, and I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait, and we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com, and you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
Oh, before we get into it, we can get into someone shared some things about horses, because you did. What was it? Horses. Not all horses choose to be ridden.
No, I said maybe all horses don't want to be ridden.
Okay.
I said maybe horses don't want to be ridden, but then I got a little nervous, so I said all.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I was very excited when you asked me to write. So this is the.
Is this the horse, the sexual horse?
Yeah.
I mean,
we should clarify that.
I'm so sorry. This person, every person they've dated, when they found out that they rode horses, they kept making like sexual jokes about it in the only way that I've ever heard it done to dancers and contortionists. And then it opened up a whole new world to Melissa and I that turns out we're apparently not friends with a lot of horse girls or
I'm
horse
a new one.
People. And happy for you. And that this is in fact a thing. Mm-hmm. And we obviously were repulsed by the sexualization of anything, but specifically the fact that someone would be able to sexualize someone who's doing something with such an animal. Large animal does without a doubt always veer on the side of bestiality.
Yes. So I was very excited when you asked me to write in and give my input on the subject of horseback riding and how horses feel about it. I apologize for my delay in commenting, but here's my opinion. No need to apologize. Based on both personal experiences and facts on the matter. Similarly to many matters in life, horseback riding can be wonderful and awful for the horses. Generally, there are a few factors that can affect this. One, how the horses are being handled. Are they getting time off to be in the pasture and relax? Are they being treated like athletes in the sense that they get get treatments and special attention to make sure that nothing is bothering them? For example, my horse gets a special chiropractor treatment every 3 months to ensure that everything is feeling good, and a massage twice a year or after intense competitions training weeks. If the horse is being handled well, generally, they're very pleased. And honestly, many sport horses get frustrated if given too much time off or if they're not exercising regularly. However, if the horse is being overworked, not getting treatment, etc., I personally feel it is not fair to ask them to do their job. And that was in quotes. Two, what are the horse's living conditions? Are they in a stable that is big enough for them? Are they comfortable? For example, my horse is blanketed in the winter and has a ceiling fan in the summer to ensure optimal temperature.
I want to be like your horse, literally me. This is what I got.
This is different and somewhat more pampered than in nature when horses need to brave all weather conditions. But of course, this is a direct result of the horses being athletes and not wild, for better or worse. Three, are the horses' medical needs being addressed? Four, are they being given an opportunity to just be horses, spend time in the pasture with other horses, etc.?
Let bitches be bitches.
I'd also like to compare the horse situation to dogs. There are many dogs that live in climates that are not fitted to their needs, like huskies in hot desert climates or a chihuahua in Alaska, and big/energetic dogs that live in tiny apartments or are chained all day. Like with all things in relation to animals, humans have changed their lives, and the only fair thing to do is to treat them with the utmost respect and kindness. Love you both. Thanks for asking for my opinion. Wishing all listeners and you too, good wet sex. P.S. I have an update of my horse girl write-in. Let me know if you want to hear it.
Bitch, yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that.
Thank you. It's very informative and very well written.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. I do want to know what happens. Actually, maybe I don't want to know because maybe it's sad.
But like when a horse can no longer be the same sport level, in the sense of like someone like that, like not, I don't, because I know that like, you know, race horses that if you're doing like a for profit, like it's, you know what I mean? Like a different organizations, but like an individual who loves their horse and like rides their horse, but it can no longer compete.
I know when I went to the horse place in Ojai, a lot of those horses were that kind of
so horse. You would then either sell or donate your horse mm-hmm.
to someplace that
low-key
that can still ride them. Like they're saying they need to be ridden like regularly, yeah. but they're not getting
and
that
care
endurance
for them, yeah. yeah. Okay. That makes me feel better. Because I know the cost of horses upkeep is like really expensive. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, if it's also your job at a certain point, or it's like a hobby, like you'll have to replace that. You'll have to have another horse that you can ride to that yeah. extent. That it would be really, unless you're incredibly wealthy, which I mean, a lot of horse people are, you wouldn't be able to afford care and upkeep for multiple horses. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you and your horse journey.
Thank you.
I'm going to need to hire an animal psychic and like animal therapist, animal trauma therapist before I get near any of your horses.
They pair you up with someone that matches your temperament, if that makes sense.
It'll be the horse that's laying down in the shade and I'll go, I'll just come lay down next to you. We don't gotta walk anywhere.
Yeah, they like kind of, they're like, you, they like size everybody up.
Yeah,
in the
you've
group.
Got an anxious, neurotic, horse trauma kind of energy.
Mm-hmm. And they probably give you like a little slow pony.
Yeah. Okay. So now it's time for But Are You Wrong? This is when we read your email submissions. And if you want to send us one, send it to butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. You have to keep it under 300 words. We do ask that you include ages and it's all anonymous. So you can include pseudonyms, right? Mm-hmm. That's the word. I almost said synonyms. You know why?
I know why.
There you go.
Because I'm your bestie. And we're the same, like...
Send them in. We'll read them. And we'll tell you if you are wrong in your situation or if you would be wrong. So, kicking this one off. Hi, Megan and Melissa. My best friend, she 25, and I, she 24, recently attended a Lana Del Rey concert at a big outdoor festival. We are huge fans. We're huge fans and we're lucky enough to be in the VIP section, which was situated on the side of the stage. It was a big crowd of 100,000 people. Oh my God. It was my first time seeing her in concert. I was really excited because I've been a fan for a decade now. We were second row standing right behind two girls in their 30s. Let's call them Sarah and Julia. During the opening acts, my friend and I were catching up as we didn't really know the performers on stage. Sarah and Julia asked us to be quieter because they wanted to hear the music. I understood their request and felt bad, so we lowered our voices. I already know what I'm going to say. Once Lana Del Rey came on, my best friend and I got really excited. We started screaming with excitement, and soon enough, we were loudly singing all the lyrics to the songs. Most people around us were doing the same, but Sarah and Julia were quiet and seemed like they didn't know her music at all. Throughout the show, they kept giving us annoyed looks, and eventually, about halfway through, they left. I heard them say to people next to them that the girls were screaming so loud they couldn't hear her sing. Were we rude and broke concert etiquette, or were we legitimate to enjoy the concert the way we wanted to? Thanks. I think you're rude and broke concert etiquette. Because I think it's a compiled list of things. So I think talking during the opening act,
it's rude.
Yeah, is just point blank really rude. And that's not to say that I've like never done it, but I would never do it today. Like I that's like how that's like I saw Demi Lovato open for the Jonas Brothers. Like that was something like there's so many amazing, really cool acts, but there's also like a lot of people who go to, especially this is like a festival, but even concerts in general. I also wouldn't describe, again, maybe this is wrong because it's a different kind of festival I'm not familiar with. I wouldn't describe the person who went on before the opening act to Lana. Like, that's like saying the person who went before the headliner at Coachella was opening for Billie Eilish. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, it doesn't matter if they weren't there for, like, they can be there for anyone, but it's a level of, like, respect. And both instances, they can't enjoy the music because you're enjoying it how you want to. But the way that you're enjoying it how you want to impedes on how other people can enjoy it. Whereas if you enjoy it the same way that they're enjoying it, that doesn't mean that you can't hear.
Right.
So I've also been a screamer at concerts. I have gone to Taylor Swift concerts since I was like 16. Mm, 15.
A child.
Yeah.
A teenager.
I went to Jonas Brothers. Like, so I understand that. And I do think that when you're an artist who is catering specifically, when you are a young artist and your audience is young people, there is a window in which everyone is pretty much under 18. All the people attending, the performers also under, like, and so that's when they make those like local news is like, parents, bring your earplugs for the con. Like, well, this is my decibels. And those artists, though, age out of that screaming fan base. And the fan base also ages out of that. There's like a window, I think, for that. You can be excited and sing along, but the louder you want to sing along, you should be farther back. Because, no, I mean, like, just acoustics-wise. Like, it's just like, when you're close and you're side stage, you're not having mics, like the amps directly pointed at you. So like they're going to hear you more than they hear her. And if they couldn't hear and they felt it was rude or disrespectful for you to be like whispering and talking and loudly during the first set, like I don't know what you thought that they would think if you're screaming the whole time. Like you can scream and be excited, but artists also don't like that and specifically.
Unless they do the thing where they hold their microphone
but out. You can sing along, but like the scream singing along is like be aware of other people. And I do have to say that specifically Lana Del Rey, she sings so quietly. Like she is not a belter. Like she has a very soft, ethereal kind of voice that I'm gonna need to follow up and ask Kyle how you scream sing along to Lana. But also, even if you thought everybody else was doing that, when you're like, you can't actually tell if people are still doing it when you're doing it. So I just think like, yeah, I just don't think it's necessary to enjoy your experience. You can scream sing a couple like when they come out, but the whole time.
Nothing grinds my gears more at a concert than people that think that they are performing. If you want to perform that hard, you go to karaoke. Concert, like you can sing along softly, almost to the point where you can't hear yourself.
You should never be able to hear yourself.
That's my point. That's my point. That's how softly you should be singing.
Even if you sing loudly.
No, I mean like in your head. Like that's the only way you should hear it.
Facts.
And that like I'm fine with people singing along when the artist like holds out the microphone or like stops singing so everybody can sing along. Like that is a unified consent to everyone singing. But what I don't like is when people are singing over the person that's performing. Do that at home. Do that in your car. I've seen clips of artists getting mad because people are singing it wrong and singing it louder than what they can hear and just like being rude to other people. So like, I think it is disrespectful. I think you disrespected the opening act by talking through their performance. Like that's annoying as fuck. And then I think it's disrespectful to the artist and the other patrons for you to be singing Lana Del Rey, who whisper sings louder than her, to the point that it makes
vocal notes.
To the point where it makes people leave. Yeah. Like how abrasive were you being with this singing?
I also just
why do you need to sing that loud? No, are there to hear the artist.
Yeah, and like Taylor Swift concerts, notoriously, like, everyone sings along. Like, everyone sings, but, like, I am dreading being near if someone is, like, scream singing. Because there's a difference between singing along and they adjust her music and, like, the amps accordingly because they know people do sing along. And
most people recognize and understand because people sing along what level we all need to be singing along at. So it's not an awful experience for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But this specifically, when you said, throughout the show, they kept giving us annoyed looks, and eventually halfway through they left. So you knew the whole time they were getting annoyed, but you didn't do anything. Like, you just continued on with what you were doing. And yeah, like, I think you are both too old to do this. I did this when I was 16. And I think you're too old to do this. And I think it's, like you said, disrespectful to the artist as well.
Our consensus is you're wrong. All right. Well, next one. My dad and his ex were off and on for 3 years and met because we live in the same building. I know their 63X73 dad. In January, my dad's ex got major surgery on her neck right when my job was ending. She stated many times she was doing me a favor by giving me the job of taking care of her, which included 24-hour care, waking up in the night to help her to the bathroom, showers, errands, and overall just non-ending work and caretaking. I felt obligated to do it because she stated, I could hire someone, but I'm happier with you doing it. She also kept crossing boundaries I set with her and would disclaim, I know you don't want to hear this, and then cross the boundary. I decided to ghost her though, because one other time in the past, she and my dad drove home drunk, and I said if they did it again when they have other resources, that would be a final straw for me. This particular night, my dad and his ex came home and they were both drunk. I learned his ex made the choice to drive home, and I confronted her and said, you're drunk, what the fuck? And she proceeded to yell at me, mock me, and say extremely nasty things. She texted me the next day a half-ass apology of, I'm sorry if I did anything I don't remember, and a voicemail saying the same and asking when I could come help her. I never answered because I was genuinely so hurt and shocked she couldn't remember her behavior. Am I wrong for ghosting? She drove drunk and wasn't even wearing her neck brace. Am I wrong for not continuing to care for her? Why does she still need care?
Wait.
If she had neck surgery and is out driving and drinking, why does she still need to be cared for?
When did they break up?
They're on and off.
But we're still calling her the ex because they were on and off.
Maybe they're off
around 3 years
when they wrote this and then on the next day.
Okay.
But I don't understand why she needs to still need to be cared for.
Well, probably because she's not actually recovering and she's driving drunk without a neck brace.
If she can drive drunk without a neck brace, she can help herself to the bathroom.
And if she's going to not only like add the added risk on top of putting herself and other people at risk by driving drunk, adding on top of that potentially fucking up in surgery or recovery that has not finished fucking up. If she has to drink and drive drunk, like that's a bigger problem.
Yeah. You already gave her a warning that if she did it again, that you were done with her and your dad. And they fucked around and found out.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
No, you're not wrong at all. And like, there's, I personally think that, like, anytime you're caring for someone, if it's, like, a nanny, if it's a caretaker, if it's, you know, anything where it's, like, someone counts on you for basic needs or for function, all of that kind of stuff, that does not mean you're eternally in like,
indebted to them.
Yeah. So, like, if they don't treat you, it's not, you don't have a responsibility there. Like, you're not, I think we owe people things, but we do not owe to be disrespected and then expect to benefit from said relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, even like, I mean, I'm a big fan of ghosting in general, but like some people don't deserve notice.
Yeah, because like she got up, got ready, went out driving. She had to drive there, right? If she drove home drunk, partied, drank, then got in a car, drove home, and got in bed. What she need you for? Mm-hmm. She did all that by herself. Mm-hmm. What she need you for?
Yeah. And like there's a conflict, like some people with who struggle with like alcohol will like something along the lines of like, oh, like I'm good at this. Like I can do like I was fine. And it goes, okay, so then that you don't need me. But then if the other thing is like, no, I have a problem and like this is out of control and like I'm not okay. I need help. But she's not, she's trying to do both.
Mm-hmm. And then give you a half-ass apology that she claims she doesn't remember what she said to you, but I'm sure she did. I'm sorry for what I might have said. You know that you talked to her, so you know that you said something out of pocket.
Yeah, and 24-hour care is like, even most like care like that, you would have
they two tag people out. Yeah.
Switch on and off. Like 24-hour care, especially if it's there are things needed overnight, like that's not mm-hmm. something that would be done by one singular person. And I highly doubt that she is paying you what that cost would be.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't think you're wrong at all.
All right, we're going to take another break. And when we get back, we'll get into, but are they wrong?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's time for But Are They Wrong? This is where we nominate someone, something in the media news currently. Actually, it could be past. It could be something we just have a really sticking us right now. And we want to bitch about it and publicly throw tomatoes at them. Mine is there's a bit of a caveat here because this is not a situation or a circumstance where people are entirely sure who is in the wrong or not. But I will say that I think this person, regardless, is wrong.
Okay.
I am nominating Robbie Williams.
The singer?
Yes.
Is he British?
Yes.
I only remember one song he had in like the 2000s.
I have no idea who this man is. He could be walking down the street and I would not know a thing.
What was his song? There was a slew of songs in the late 90s that came out that had, like, the word millennium in it. Because the millennium was about to change. Okay. And so this was one of them.
Mm. So a song of the times.
Yes.
Like Vitamin C Graduation.
Mm-hmm.
But that, always relevant. So in June, that's kind of when this started popping off. And I started seeing about this, I thought, like, a week ago or something. He paused a concert that he was having in the Netherlands and he said, I'm totally exhausted. It's due to long COVID. I have long COVID. It's not because of my age. And he laughs. The audience laughs. And then he like points to the band because he's done this bit where he like goes pause, like, okay, stop. And he like sits down for a second and he's like, you know, hand on the hip. And he's like, oh, it's not. This is a performance that he's
acting
stage. He's giving like a, it's, you know how some artists when they'll talk between sets,
mm-hmm.
He's doing that in,
but as a bit with long COVID.
We'll get to there, but just know in the actual act of like how he's doing this, you know, as I'm watching this for the first time, I already know what the headlines are. So I'm kind of looking at this in like a, yeah, this feels hammy. Like this feels choreographed in a way. So everyone all laughs along with him. And then he like turns to his band and he says, hit it. And then they just go right back into the song. And he's jumping up and down, dancing and like doing the whole thing. So he did an interview. And someone asked about, you know, his experience with long COVID. He goes, oh, no, I just use it as a joke. If I suddenly feel tired and exhausted on stage, I don't want the audience to think that it's because I'm an old man. So I pretend to have long COVID. So some people in the long COVID community have said like that was probably like publicist, like maybe it was like an insurance thing. He can't like say this, that, whatever. I think that's like a incredibly like American healthcare system take on it of like, oh, he can't publicly say this. It could be a PR thing. But even so, I'm very fine with me making self-deprecating jokes or poking fun at like my own experience. But a sea of strangers is not allowed to laugh at that. And more specifically, by laughing along with my issue, if I've made a joke about it, they are laughing along with other people dealing with the exact same, they're laughing at other people dealing with the same issue who have not said that they're cool with this. So I personally don't think, even if he does have long COVID, I still think he's an asshole for doing this. But then it came out. So I saw this in a comment on COVID long hauler subreddit, which I've talked about before, but I will give a caveat if anyone wants to like follow along. if you're going to follow that, follow the recovery subreddit as well, because it can get pretty dark and people are pretty good with trigger warnings, but like it can get, it's hard and it can get dark. So having people's recovery stories there is also nice. But a lot of people give unsolicited medical information and the mods are really fucking good about that, but it's still, there's a lot of people posting. So a commenter said, I watched the first video and something about it was off. And then I watched a second one. So then there's a second one. One happened 5 months ago. One happened a month ago. He pauses the same song at the exact same moment. Mm-hmm. He does the same choreography of him walking across the stage, leaning over, hands on the hip, and then points to the band and says, hit it, and starts it back up exactly the same. So that to me, like, do I do the same? There's certain things that I know are going to wipe me out and make me exhausted every time. Like, yeah. But it's not like this level of like, oh, let me make a bit out of it. Like, this is funny. And to hear an entire audience like laugh along with it, I think is royally fucked. And it's also simultaneously like the way he keeps bringing it up, it's not long COVID, it's not my fucking age, you fuckers. And he like laughs and it's like, so you're so insecure about getting older that you find that you would prefer to poke fun at a chronic ailment right now that people are suffering, like countless people are suffering with. And to you, you would rather people, you're so concerned about people thinking that you're old.
Also, he's only 49.
Yeah. He also like pauses in the shows to like talk about like his depression and like he's opened up about body dysmorphia and like all of that. And it's that great. Open up about those things. The way that you talk about the things that you go through when you're a public figure, you have to be aware that other people suffer with the same things that you do. And I think it's one thing to like make a self-deprecating or a dark joke. I make dark jokes about like shit I go through, like, and like that other people deal with all that, like all the fucking time. But if I ever had an audience who like roaring laugh, I would never give anyone the opportunity to do that, because that also, it's like, I used to say, my friends in high school used to be like, I can say I hate my grandma, but you can't say you hate my grandma. Do you know what I mean? Like there are certain things that but you cannot laugh along with this sort of thing.
I'm reading on his Wikipedia that in 2011, he said that he gets tired all the time because he has a hormone imbalance called andropause. Like, why won't you just pick what gets you tired?
Yeah.
And say that. Don't make a joke out of something that's affecting so many people. Talk about something that actually affects you.
Yeah. And you cannot, I truly believe, like, I do not believe that, I believe that people are complex. And I think even shitty people deserve like empathy and understanding and care about the other things that they talk about. Because like, I'm not going to talk shit on this man about depression because I'm depressed. And like, I know that affects other people, but like the gall that you have to have opened up about things, which if you continue to open up about your struggles is because your audience and fan base has been support, like you felt some benefit and some connection and community there. And then to look at what that community or whatever that kind of empathy and connection has done for you, and to then poke fun of that in a different community, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, where do you get off doing that?
Well, he believes in Pizzagate, so.
And there we go. Yep. Granted, you know, I should have been questioning when I never pulled up his Wikipedia, and under health issues, it says interest. And I go, why would I care about his interest? And then I see UFOs. Well, and you know where it goes from there?
Excuse me, I have an interest in UFOs.
Melissa, no one gets a Wikipedia subsection for interest that starts with UFOs that does not end in Pizzagate.
This is true. All right, so my wrong of the week, Rachel of the week, little bitch, is Jason Aldean. and his fans.
I'm so weird. Because I was like, she'll pick it.
Yeah. So Jason Aldean released the country singer, released a song called Try That in a Small Town, which is currently number 2.
Morgan Wallen effect.
And the song is racist, point blank, period. Argue with your mama if you don't agree with me. Read the lyrics. It's very clearly racist, and anybody that defending this is a racist sympathizer and racist. So then he released a statement saying, I'm proud to be from here. I love our country. I want to see it restored to what it once was before all this bullshit started happening to us. I love our country. I love my family, and I will do anything to protect that. I can tell you that right now. He then said, cancel culture was something that if people don't like what you say, they try to make sure they can cancel you. Which means try to ruin your life, ruin everything. Again, the song is number 2 on the charts. He's not canceled. Cancel culture is not real. It's fake. It's just something that people that get in trouble like to wag their finger at and try to make it something that it's not. But his song has been pulled from CMT, Country Music Television. So
that's how you know it's bad.
Yep.
When CMT goes, you know, even for us, a little too far.
You towed the line, you went over it, and yeah, we're done with you. After a barrage of bad publicity, accusing him of promoting lynching and violence via the song's theme and music videos.
And the lyrics.
And the lyrics and the visuals, everything. Jason Aldean tried to make it seem like, well, not tried to make it seem like, he said that all this information was pulled from the news here in the U.S. That he was using news clips to show just how bad the U.S. is. Well. Not true.
Good delivery. Huh? It's a good delivery. Yeah.
So, a TikTok user debunk claims that all the footage in the video comes from real life America. And now she's getting death threats. So she found, I was so enthralled in her. I watched, I think she made 2 or 3 videos. Her name is Destiny Stark. And they showed that some of these videos, one of them was from a German music festival.
And we know. Notoriously going to be saying good things.
Yeah. One of them, the one, that one is like one where and how she found it is that there's a woman standing in the street kind of like holding off police officers. First of all, the way that the police officer are dressed, they're not how U.S. police officers are dressed. Her bag was in German. And so the Destiny looked up like what this meant, found out where in Germany was, then used Google Maps to look at the buildings and found exactly where it was.
Cross streets.
Yes.
That's impressive.
And then another one was a stock image that she found very easily where somebody was trying to set a Molotov cocktail.
Personal experience of that one.
What?
Someone put, one of my classmates in middle school put one under our building. Like our music building, a Molotov cocktail.
You told me this.
Yeah. The only reason why I know how to pronounce it.
Okay. So it's very cinematic of someone lighting a Molotov cocktail and about to throw it. And the thing is, it's so cinematic. How could news footage get this? So she did a little search, found it in some stock image that came from Bulgaria.
At this point, I'm like literally waiting for them. Like, and then we got a clip of Harry Styles in Dunkirk. And it's like,
right.
What?
Like, right.
Okay.
And
this
she found,
was yesterday.
She found several videos, like the clips are from several just like stock image videos. And now she's getting death threats. And so fuck him and fuck his fans. The comments are wild on her videos. She is a young woman. He's literally in the video. He is standing in front of a courthouse in Tennessee which was the site of a lynching of a black 18-year-old in 1927 and a race riot in 1946. So fuck all these people and keep fighting the good fight, Destiny Stark. Sound like a superhero.
I was literally
going to say. I mean, it is Tony Stark's last name, but you on your own, Destiny Stark.
In like comic book, like mm-hmm. this is like, and even like the hair, the makeup, the whole like aesthetic. I'm like, I can see you in 2D, and I'm turning pages.
Yeah. All right. That's the end of the episode.
We hope you all enjoyed. I wish nothing but the worst for the Aldean family, unless you're not related to them or you are related to them and you have so much shame. I think then we're both on the same page that I wish awful things for him and his wife and her sister.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, I have absolutely nothing.
So if you want to participate, remember that you can write in to butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. Please keep your email to 300 words or less. Let us know your pronouns if you'd like. Please include ages and also false names.
Anyways, we will circle back.
Goodbye.
Assistance by Melanie D. Watson.